Our third feature this week looks at almshouses in Norfolk and at the people who live there. It's read by Elaine Smith.
Scarlet cloaks hang on hooks in the hallway. On a chest in the main room are the tall, black, moleskin hats the sisters wear for formal occasions, and bonnets for less showy trips out. The very newest of the hats dates back to 1933. Most are Victorian. This is the hospital of the Holy and Undivided Trinity in Castle Rising, or, more simply, the beautiful village almshouses, just across the lane from the Norman church, and tucked around a corner from the impressive castle which gives the village its name. It is home to six women, who each live in a stone cottage reached through a gatehouse and set around a garden quadrangle. The almshouses were built for 12 sober spinsters and widows more than 400 years ago. The rules barred beggars, harlots, scolds, drunkards, and haunters of taverns and inns, and stipulated prayers thrice daily, and women of honest life and conversation, religious, grave, and discreet. The original rules have been updated, as have the 12 bedsits, now converted into six self-contained cottages, each with a bedroom, living room, kitchen, and bathroom. However, the communal great hall, or refectory, stretching along most of one side of the quadrangle, is pretty much as it would have been centuries ago. A huge wooden table is flanked by benches with grand carved chairs at the head and foot. There are portraits of venerable historical figures on the walls, and on a cupboard at the far end, the tall, black, Tudor-style hats which have been part of the ceremonial costume of the Trinity Almshouses since it was founded in 1614 in memory of Henry Howard, Earl of Northampton. He would probably have been the richest man in the country, said Richard Waite, the current clerk of the Hospital of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Richard, an architect, took over the voluntary and unpaid role from his dad, who was clerk here for 50 years. I love the atmosphere of peace and quiet and tradition, he said. It is a community. There are pictures of lots of royal visitors too, with the Sandringham estate bordering the village, generations of kings, queens, princes and princesses have paid a visit to this peaceful, picturesque community. The residents, who are known as sisters, each have their own patch of beautifully tended garden, and the communal land, once a kitchen garden producing food for shared meals in the dining hall, is now looked after by the gardener for Lord Greville Howard, a descendant of the founder. The quadrangle of quaint cottages and dining hall also has its own chapel and a treasury above the gatehouse entrance to the almshouses. Outside its Grade I listed wall are views of grazing horses and the village cricket pitch. Nick Phillips, Chief Executive Officer of the National Almshouses Association, said, "The architecture of almshouses hasn't changed much since the 10th and 11th century. Built as quadrangles, or three sides of a square," Nick said, "they encourage companionship and interaction while giving private space inside. To walk to your front door, you have to walk past each other, and that's not by accident. It's about forming a strong community. You don't feel lonely, but you're all completely independent. There's an increasing recognition that there is something about the scale of almshouses that enables these communities to thrive. They offer warm, safe, secure homes to those in need, strong companionship, good neighbours, independent living. Each woman lives independently with as much outside care as she needs, although one of the residents at Castle Rising has the title of matron. She has extra frills on her beautiful scarlet special occasion cloak and regularly checks in on her fellow residents. The women include a former teacher, secretary, and housekeeper. Each pays a weekly maintenance contribution from her pension or housing benefits to help towards the running of the almshouses. Richard said, "They live a quiet life. They might visit the church or pub or tea room in the village. But on special occasions, they lift those glorious scarlet cloaks from the hooks in the hall, put on the fancy hats, and ensure a 410-year-old tradition continues through the 21st century." The Castle Rising almshouses are occasionally open to visitors, and women over 55 from Castle Rising or seven surrounding parishes who can show they need this kind of accommodation can apply to join the waiting list for a cottage. The Earl of Northampton bequeathed money for another two sets of almshouses, one in Clun in Shropshire and one in Shotsham, south of Norwich. Across the country, around 36,000 people live in almshouses, including 84-year-old Josephine Mulligan of Stewart Court Almshouses, Norwich. She has views front and back to the gardens which surround the pretty gabled architecture of the Dutch-style almshouses. From her kitchen, Josephine can see roses her late husband planted. From the landing, there are blossom trees and the cathedral spire. Josephine moved to Stewart Court with her husband 24 years ago and still enjoys helping out in the gardens. Alongside the beautifully cared for beds and borders, she has added rhubarb, raspberries and blackcurrants. "I make blackcurrant jam every year," said Josephine. "It's absolutely gorgeous here. I love the community, being close to the railway station, close to everything, really. You are right in the centre of everything, but can hear the birds singing and see the wildlife." Born in the Netherlands, the eldest of 10 children, she came to Britain as an au pair. She met her husband here, and the couple moved to Norwich, where Josephine worked as a teacher at Town Close House School. She was particularly delighted to discover the Dutch-influenced architecture of Stewart Court, although she has Norwich roots too. Her stonemason maternal grandfather helped build the Roman Catholic Cathedral. Her cosy home is full of photographs of her children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, pictures of favourite places, treasured furniture and ornaments, and houseplants extending the green of the gardens all around into her sunny living room. Tucked between the cathedral and Prince of Wales Road in Norwich city centre, the Stewart Court almshouses were built in 1915 in memory of James Stewart, who married into the Coleman family. They are looked after by the Norwich Housing Society. Its chief executive officer, John Newstead, said, "He was concerned with welfare and education and was very socially minded. He was a champion for poor people." When he died, his sisters-in-law, Ethel and Helen Coleman, wanted to recognise the work he had done. After the 1912 floods, the poor condition of Norwich housing became apparent, so Ethel and Helen decided to build some new housing, said John. Nick Phillips of the Almshouses Association said, The philanthropists and activists of the time saw people living in reduced circumstances and wanted to do something about it. Today, 8 men and 14 women live in 22 light and airy apartments, which range from bedsits to 2-bedroom flats. Applicants to join the waiting list must be over 60, with a connection to the city, in housing need, and without the means to purchase their own property. 97-year-old Elizabeth Scheurega has lived here for almost 30 years. Originally from Wales, she arrived in Norwich to help look after her grandchildren. "It's perfect for me, it's so peaceful," she said. "Everybody is very friendly." In tiny Freethorpe, near Acle, the prettily gabled Walpole's almshouses were built in 1871 by the Lord of the Manor of Freethorpe and his wife, Richard and Harriet Vade Walpole. Originally created for 6 poor widows, there are now 3 separate homes for men and women. The Grade 2 listed almshouses are still a haven for those in housing need, and one resident called the little community a place of comfort, security, and attentive care. They are another example of the 1,630 almshouses in villages, towns, and cities across England and Wales, each an independent charity run by volunteers and trustees, and each a testimony to a tradition of philanthropy and community support. The almshouse model dates back more than 1,000 years, with the Hospital of St. Oswald in Worcester the very oldest almshouse charity still in existence. Early almshouses were often called hospitals because they offered hospitality to the oldest, poorest, and most vulnerable in society. Today, almshouses still offer hospitality, with some extending that to provide homes for families and young people leaving care.
Thank you, Elaine.